Good morning. It is so good to see you this morning. I only have one announcement, and that is on the back of your bulletin, so you can take this home and remember throughout the week. Our McDonald Music Series has its second of three in its season, a concert here this next Sunday in the sanctuary, 3 p.m., with the Workman family, including, if you look, there's a little inset with Tim's sister Emily is coming all the way from California to sing along with them. So Tim Workman is one of the music instructors at UAFS. It should be a wonderful event. A lot of UAFS folks here as well. So please do come out. It's a free concert, 3 p.m. next Sunday. Free childcare for any who need it. And I would let you know they will be singing in worship at both services next Sunday morning as well. So we will have a wonderful day with the Workman family next week. And that is my only announcement. So as we begin, let's prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of God.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord, be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Let us pray. Great and holy and merciful God, during this time of worship, We pray that your Spirit would be present in our midst, that the same Spirit which was present at creation would be present here, binding us together as one people, quickening our minds, and inspiring our hearing of your holy word. Guide us in all that we do this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our first hymn is a good reminder of who we are and what we're doing here. So I invite you to stand and sing it with verve, if you feel so compelled. Remain standing and offer this prayer of confession before God and one another. I will point out that there is a moment for silent prayer in the midst of our prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, as we offer our confession today, we know that our sin hurts you. We know it also hurts us and those we love. We offer our prayers to you now for our actions which inflict pain. Hear our prayers. Continuing, help our faith to be renewed and our relationship with you and with others to be restored. We know it is only by your work that this healing can take place, and we thank you for never giving up on us. Help us remember that we are your children, and give us grace to live as members of your family this day. We pray in your holy name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, in the waters of our baptism, we were claimed once and for all by Jesus Christ. And these waters remind us that no matter what we have done, and no matter what we have left undone, we are forgiven. Know that you are a new creation, and be at peace. Let us sing to God's glory.
Seated. As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let's pray. Lord, you are our light and our salvation. Whom should we fear? You are the stronghold of our lives. Of whom should we be afraid? We pray that in this time of worship, as we hear your word, that it would become a living word for us, nourishing and renewing our lives with you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. We have two scriptures this morning. The first comes from 1 John chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. And our second scripture, as many of you know, since Easter, we have been talking about that short time period that happened in the life of the church after Jesus was raised and before the Holy Spirit came. We've been calling the series Next. What's next for the early church in between those things happening? And to do that, we've been looking at Acts chapter 1. I want to start us at verse 8 today. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. There is a singer named Robert Earl Keane. I don't know if any of you know him. We like to say he's Texas famous. And what that means is he's famous in the bounds of Texas. Although he was here recently and played a concert. But he's very famous in Texas, Robert Earl Keane, and he ends every live concert with one of his most famous songs, which is a lively take on what it means to gather with extended family at Christmas. The song is called Merry Christmas from the Family, and I'm going to read for you the second verse of the song. I need you to imagine it with a Texas twang, if you would. He sings, Brother Ken brought his kids with him, the three from his first wife Lynn, and the two identical twins from his second wife Mary Nell. Of course, he brought his new wife Kay, who talks all about AA, chain smoking while the stereo plays. Noel, Noel, the first Noel. It goes on from there. By the end of the song, some relatives he didn't even know he was related to have come and knocked out the power to the house, and everyone is just gathering on the lawn. The song is a very funny take on a messy, blended, extended family. And not to be too sacrilegious here in this place of sanctuary, but I have to wonder if there might at least be a few similarities, just a few, between Robert Earl Keane's family and the family who gathered with Mary in that room in Jerusalem. I want you to picture it. We just read it. Jesus is ascending into heaven, and right before he goes, he tells them to all go back to Jerusalem together, the whole gang. We are told the list of people who are there. Mary, Jesus' mom, she's there. Some of her children were also there. Peter and James and John, Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, another James, Matthew, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not the Iscariot one, they were there. And some women, they were there. And we read the list, and some of the names even speak to us. We know a little bit about that person. Maybe a little bit about that one, but mostly our minds wander when the list is read because we don't really know these people, and so it might as well be Pig Latin, this long list of names. And it's true that we don't know much about the folks who gathered with Mary for those 10 days. Most of them don't have much backstory in Scripture. For example, quick, what are two things you know about Bartholomew who was gathered there? Quick, come on, anyone, two things. One thing. Exactly. Poor Bartholomew, we know nothing about him, but he was gathered there. But though we don't know much, we do know some. Here are a couple of things we know. We know that James and John in that list, that they were brothers to each other, and that their nicknames were Sons of Thunder. And probably they got that nickname because of their hot temper. We see it flare several times in the Gospels. They have hot tempers, these brothers. So at this family gathering, the volatile Sons of Thunder are there. And so were some rivals. We don't think about this very often, but most of the gospel writers portray Peter as the head disciple. Of course they do, the top dog. Peter is the disciple in charge. But according to John's gospel, Peter is not the head disciple. He is not the top dog. According to John's gospel, it's John himself who is the lead. Revealing, peeling away for all of us a rivalry that went on for who knows how long. So at this family gathering, there were rivals there because Peter and John were there. And finally, there was the oddest couple of odd couples there. Simon was there, who was never just known as Simon. He was always, you could say it with me, Simon the Zealot. That's how everybody knew him. And what that means is that he was part of a radical political party that hated Rome, hated Roman authority, hated Roman taxes. His politics were such that whatever it took to bring down Rome was worth it, even violence, maybe especially violence. That is Simon. And alongside him, we find Matthew. Matthew, who famously collected Roman taxes. He was an employee of Rome. Some would even say a collaborator. So at this family gathering, it's not just rivals that are there, it is sworn enemies. But there they are, because Simon and Matthew are there. I like to picture Mary and those other women looking at each other in such a scenario and saying, is there an appetizer that we could serve that would solve this problem? What does one serve at such a gathering of rivals, sons of thunder, and sworn enemies? Brother Kin and all his kids and all his wives and all the chain smoking looks like child's play in comparison to who's gathered there in Jerusalem. Yet there they are, all of them, in this room. They are a blended family that is more disparate than most. And Luke tells us that while they are together, what they decided to do together was pray. You know as well as I do that sadly, if Arkansas ends up in the national news, it's usually not good. We know that, right, about ourselves, where we think, oh, please don't write about us. It won't be good. And do you know we ended up in the national news this week? We did. Our town, one of our churches, our people, we made national news. I don't know if you know about this, but it was a story in the New York Times. And the former pastor of Community Bible Church, Kevin Thompson, you know, out there on the east side, he was interviewed. And the article talks about the struggles that congregation had in trying to blend with Kevin. In trying to blend when they started to realize that they didn't all get along, that they didn't all match up. And if you know much about that congregation or about Kevin, you know that he's left the congregation, he's left town, left the state, taken a call far away. And throughout this article, both the folks who agreed with Kevin and the folks who didn't are hurting because of what has happened. It's clear. There is heartbreak enough to share. It was a shock to read about them, and it was sad. And it is not so simple as, well, they have a problem, and aren't we grateful that we do not? Wouldn't that be nice if it could be so simple as that, well, they have a problem, aren't we glad we do not? But it's not so simple as that. We well know that being a blended family has always come with difficulties. It comes with difficulties for individual families, and it does for the church, too. And it is an especially difficult moment for blended families. We find ourselves in an especially difficult moment. There are very few voices out there that would tell us it is okay to love someone with whom you disagree. And there are even fewer voices out there who would say it is required. And so, when we come into church, we have to retune our ears to that priority. We have to work to retune our hearts to that priority, that there is priority and value in being a blended family. That has to be retuned in us. I so wish that we knew more about that Jerusalem group. I wish I knew what appetizers they served and if it helped. I wish that we knew what Mary's other children thought of all these newcomers to the family. I wish we knew at least one thing about Bartholomew or anything about the women. I wish we did, but we don't. We know very little, but what we do know is the most important thing. We know that Jesus said they would be his witnesses in their community and beyond. And we know that they took that witness role seriously. So they came together, sons of thunder, rivals, sworn enemies, they came together and they found a way to pray together. I cannot help but believe that the way they blended with one another had some part to play in what happens in the rest of the book. In the chapters to come, you know as well as I do, strangers from foreign lands will ask to be baptized. Someone who would murder them becomes their companion. And women step out of the shadows and take courage to lead. They did that certainly because of the work of Christ in their lives, yes. And they also did that because of what they saw in that blended family. Because of how they treated one another. How in their differences they saw those could not compete with what they had in common. In their desire to pray together as equals. All those moments, that blended family was a witness to Jesus. Peter and James and John, Thomas, Simon, Matthew, even Bartholomew and all the rest. It was their job. It was their job. They were witnesses. And the job has not changed. You know it has not changed. And you know, we could make a list. We could write it down. And maybe in 2,000 years, someone would read it and their minds would wander just as much as ours did when I read that list of names to you. But we could make a list of every single person who is here today. And we would know. We would know all the differences among us. We could be honest about that. And honest about all the blending that is required for us to even gather in one place. It took a lot. I don't want to shatter your illusions or anything, but shockingly enough, we have people in this room who don't always get along. I know. It's shocking. We have people in this room who have for decades and will for decades to come canceled each other's vote. They will do it again this month. Of course we do. And we have people in this room today who to the outside world would appear to be sworn enemies. We are blended, extended, and messy family. Just like they were. And that is not a detriment for us. That is not a detriment that we are a blended, extended, and messy family. That is our calling. We are also told to be witnesses with our lives, We are to be witnesses of who Jesus is. That job is not changed. It hasn't gone away. We are always doing it in our community and beyond. And the way that blended family in Jerusalem chose to witness ended up changing their community and the world and building up the church for generations to follow. I wonder what our blended family's witness will be. We can't ever forget, we are always witnessing. If we blend well with grace and love and mutual respect, we are witnessing. And if we stumble in that blend, we are witnessing. Which means the only question is, in our life together, what will we witness to? Amen.
So, speaking of blended families, we have a little task laid before us before we have our prayers today. Each and every Sunday, Doris De La Rosa sits right there, very near where the Newmans are sitting. And at the end of worship, you may have noticed, she turns around and she waves at the camera back there. And she's waving to her sister Ruthie and her father, who are in Mexico, and watch us each and every Sunday. Well, this week, Doris is visiting her family. And Doris asked if we could give them a wave during worship. And I believe we can, so especially those of you in the front, but everybody, let's do it. Choir, let's give a good one. Oh, yes, and it's her father's 90th birthday today. So anyway, let's give a good wave. Hi, guys. Yeah, there we go. That was good. All right. All the way to another country today. Let's pray. Great and holy and powerful God, we thank you for the ways in which you make us family to one another. We thank you for the opportunities to serve together, the opportunities to listen to one another, the opportunities you give us to share our stories, the opportunities you give us to seek comfort from our brothers and sisters in Christ and to provide it in turn. And more than anything, we thank you for the shared calling you have laid before us. The calling to be disciples, to be the hands and feet, the eyes and ears, the heart and lungs of Christ in this world. Help us to renew this calling today. Help us to feel the power of it in our hearts. And help us to remember the things which stitch us together and bind us as one people are more powerful than any of the forces which might separate us. We thank you for the opportunity to worship with our family this day. And as we worship and as we gather, we are particularly mindful of those who are most in need of your grace and your strength and your healing in their lives. And we take this moment now to lift before you aloud and in the silence of our own hearts our prayers for particular people and for situations. Holy God, as we gather today, we're also mindful of the need for your strength and grace and healing throughout your world. We're mindful of those places which are riven by war, mindful of those who live in crippling poverty, mindful of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world this day who suffer from persecution. And we take this moment now to offer our silent prayers for the people of your world this day. Giving God, we are grateful. We always gather with gratitude in our hearts, and we turn back to your world now with gratitude. We thank you for the relationships we have, the blessings we have received, the beauty of this day, the food which we shall eat, the conversations we shall have. And we ask that we would be ever mindful of your presence in the midst of those things, in the ways in which we have been blessed, and in this opportunity to be together as your people. And so it is with gratitude that together we pray the prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you to receive this offering of music.
Sing to the Lord and glorify, sing to the Lord, all ye his children.
Gracious and holy and merciful God, we give you thanks for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We return our humble tithes and offerings to you, that they may be used for your glory in this place and throughout your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your bulletins with you as a reminder of next Sunday. Until we meet again, I send you out with the prophet Micah's charge. He says, "What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your Lord." May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and fill you with his peace, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please greet one another in his name.